seated. This morning I want to share around this concept of being in Christ and what does it mean to be in Christ. In Revelations or in Romans chapter 8 from verse 1 we read that there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So what is this concept of being in Christ Jesus? In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 we read, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away and behold, all things have become new. What a powerful statement. But what does this mean to be in Christ Jesus? What is this reality and how do we enter, how do we become this reality in Christ? You know, salvation is something powerful. Salvation is, if this is my sinful man, salvation is not just trying to clean off the dirt of sin in me. What salvation is far more. It is amazing that we are born again and created it to become a new creation, that all things have passed away. So this being created anew, afresh, is in this powerful concept of being in Christ. That's why Jesus speaks to Nicodemus. And in John 3 verse 3, he says, most assuredly I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So it's more than just being cleansed. It is becoming something ultimately new in Christ Jesus. So when we are born again, we become this new creation. So how does this work and what does this mean? In Galatians 3 verse 26, verse 27, we read the following, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And Romans 6 says, or do you not know that if many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we so should walk in newness of life. You see, this is a powerful concept of being baptized into Christ. And I guess the best way to describe it is through the word and the meaning of this word in Greek, baptizo. It's a transliteration in English. So what they did is they took the Greek word and they made it an English word, a baptizo. And they made it baptism. But in Greek, it literally means to be immersed or submerged into something. So the Word of God says that through faith in Christ, we have been baptized into Christ. We have been put from the outside, the old man, have been immersed into Christ. And that makes it a new creation in Him. So literally, we are immersed into something that changes us. This is the best illustration of what the Word of God means when He says, whoever is baptized into Christ, whoever are in Christ, has become a new creation. It is in Christ that we are a new creation, not outside of Him. And so we need to be immersed, submerged into something to become something new. Now, the clearest way to explain the meaning of this word baptism or baptizo in Greek is from a Greek physician, an Isidore, that lived about 200 before Christ, and he wrote a recipe for pickles, how to make pickles. Now, earlier we had Vian here. Vian doesn't like cucumber, but he loves pickles. Strange. One would say it's the same thing, but actually, if you ask Vian, it is completely different. He cannot stand a cucumber, but he loves pickles. Because a pickle is something completely different to a cucumber. Even though they have the same origin, something happened to the pickle that changed it to become a pickle. So Nisander says, in order to make a pickle, very interesting, you first need to dip something in warm water. So you take the cucumber, you dip it in warm water, and then, very interesting, you have to baptize it into vinegar. It needs to remain baptize into the vinegar until he changes. So the two verbs are speaking of two different effects. The first is temporary, and the second, the act of baptizing the vegetable into the vinegar, produces a permanent change. So baptism, baptizo, in Greek, refers to something being immersed into something that produces a permanent change. It remains in it until it becomes a pickle. And so Galatians 3 verse 27 says, "For as many as were baptized, immersed into Christ, have put on Christ. And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old things have gone, and all things have become new." And this is so powerful, this concept of being immersed into Christ. It's not only is this little man in Christ, he is being changed to become a pickle. No, he's been changed to become more like Christ. And the solution that we are immersed into is the Holy Spirit that changes us to become more like Christ. And so we read in Corinthians 2 verse 13 or 3 to 18, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So it's not us that changes. It is the Holy Spirit in us that changes us as we are immersed, baptized into Christ. The solution that changes us to become more like Christ is not my own effort, but the Holy Spirit in me that transforms me from a cucumber to a pickle. And the more we remain in the solution, the more we are changed to become like Christ. But it's not only change that happens when we are in Christ. It is so powerful. We become a new creation. We become something completely new. We have a new identity. You must be born again to become a new creation in Christ, but then also you have a new identity. When you see the pickles at the shop, they don't sell them as cucumbers in vinegar. They sell them as pickles because it is completely different. It is new. And so we in Christ, when we are born again, we not only change to become like Christ, we have a new identity in this powerful place, being in Christ. And so who are we in Christ? And I'm just going to read a few scriptures that speaks about this reality of who we have become in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 22, we read, "But as in Adam, where we used to be cucumbers, even so in Christ we shall be made alive." Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Romans 8 says, "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Galatians 3 says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Galatians 3:14 says, "So that in Christ the blessings of Abram might come upon the Gentiles, so that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." In Christ Jesus, the blessings of Abram comes to the Gentiles. And 2 Corinthians 1, it says, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us." All the promises of God in the Word of God is yes and amen for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it continues to say in Ephesians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." 2 Corinthians 2 says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Philippians 4 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Ephesians 1 says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance." In him we have an inheritance. Philippians 4 says, and the peace of God that transcends, surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2 says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2 verse 6 says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Galatians goes on to say, for in Christ you are all sons of God through faith. And 1 Peter says, and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus. And so the lists continue. It is amazing who we have become in Christ. We have not just been forgiven, we have been changed permanently to become more like Christ. And we have obtained a position in eternity that is completely different to the position we used to have when we were still dead in our trespasses in Adam. The amazing reality of salvation is far more than forgiveness. It is being changed to become and to be something completely new. This something new is, speaks of a wet Bible. I'll just put it here for a moment. This speaks of identity in Christ. This concept of identity, that I am no longer a cucumber. I am now a Christian. I have been changed. I have been born again, and I am in him, and in him my identity changed from what it used to be. Identity is powerful because it's not only the way I see myself, but it also determines how I live and for what I live. Because as a pickle or as a cucumber, I used to do what cucumbers do. Whatever they do. But now I am a pickle. And a pickle don't do what cucumbers do. They taste differently when you take a bite at them. Something else comes out. Because I'm no longer a cucumber. I am now a Christian. I'm no longer a sinner. I am now a saint. And what changes me is God who saved me and the Holy Spirit that transforms me, not to conform to the world, but to be transformed. And so I no longer see myself as part of the world because I'm no longer part of the world. Like Jesus prayed for his disciples and said, they are not of the world just as I am not of the world. Why? Because I've given them your word and they believed it. They've been changed by it. And so too, we have changed, our identity has changed, and that determines not just the way I see myself, but the way I live, and more powerfully for what I live. Romans 6 verse 11 says, likewise, you also, now that you're no longer a cucumber, reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey in his lust, because you're no longer a sinner. You have been transformed, renewed, born again, and you are a new creation in Christ. And Ephesians 5 goes on to say, for you were once in darkness, but now you're in the light of the Lord. Live as children of the light. Because this is no longer who you are. You have become in him a new creation. Now what is so powerful about this new identity and how it shapes not just the way I see myself, but how I live my life and for what I live my life. We see too in Jesus' life as he was ministering from this place of being secure in his identity, being empowered by it. In John 13 from verse 3 we read, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, knowing who he was, and that he had come from God and was going to God. You see, Jesus knew his identity. And that led him to do something powerful. He rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which was around him. God humbled himself so powerfully. Not from a place of insecurity, not from a place of inferiority, not from a place of confusion, But clearly knowing who he was, where he come from, and where he was going, humbled himself as God and washed the feet of his disciples. To prove to us something of who God is, his character and nature, not just to his disciples, but to us to this very day as we expose to the Word and the Spirit that reveals to us the nature and character of God. He was able to humble himself so powerfully because he knew who he was and he knew where he was going and he knew for what he was living. And so powerfully he could impact those around him, not from insecurity, inferiority or uncertainty, but the clear understanding of who he was. He revealed the character of God to us. And when we fully understand who we are in Christ and where we are going, our identity in Christ will also lead us to reveal who God is to those around us. And so in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 to 21, we read the following. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. How powerful is that? That is what pickles do. They share the good news of what God has done so that they can become who they are. That is what we do. Not only are we changed, we become ambassadors. This being in Christ is not just amazing, the transformation, but the privilege of the inheritance, the status that we have for eternity in him. But it comes with a purpose. This being changed is not just for me. It's not just for myself. It has a purpose to bring glory to God, to become an ambassador for him. You know what an ambassador is? An ambassador represents a country and speaks on behalf of a leader. And so too, as ambassadors of Christ, we represent the kingdom of God and we speak as if God was imploring us, you, through us. As if God is speaking through us, we implore you on God's behalf. Be reconciled. And so we as ambassadors, we represent the kingdom and we speak on behalf of. As we are changed to become more like Christ, we have this platform to speak. You know, as a believer, more and more I am mindful not just to live my life to do what pleases the Lord, but I realize that I'm a brand ambassador. My brand is Jesus. And the way I live my life, and my wife often reminds me, the way I drive, it is a reflection as an ambassador of a brand, a name that I carry, that I've been immersed into, changed to become more like. It's Christ. So the way I live my life, what I do and how I do it, how I interact with the world around me is not just about what is allowed and what is not allowed. It is about who I represent and what it reflects of the one that I represent. And so it's so important that we are mindful of these things. What we do with the regulations, what we do when there is conflict, how we react and act in the midst of this world. We become an advertisement, an ambassador of something and someone greater, the kingdom of God. So we have to be mindful of how we live, not out of obligation, but out of an understanding of the precious nature of that what we have given and who we represent. So as Christians, we need to live in such a way that the world may see the good of God in and through us. That's what Matthew 5 verse 16 says. It says the following: in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. So powerfully. In this glass, we are changed. In this place of being in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are changed to become more like Him. To lead a fruitful life. This is what the solution, the Holy Spirit in us, transforms us into becoming a pickle, a Christ-like person that lives differently to the rest of the world. And what the world will see is that solution in me changes me to the point where I bear fruit of the Spirit. Where the world sees the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control. In the midst of life and all the things that happens, this fruit starts to manifest in me. The more I'm in this solution, I'm being changed to live this. And when we become different to the world as light in the darkness, the world will come to us and ask us, why are you always so kind? Why are you always so positive? Why are you so humble? Why are you willing to serve? Why this compassion? And then we have this amazing opportunity to give them the reason why. It's because of Christ in me. It's not me. It's like Paul boldly declares, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And so too, we can be changed to such a point where people are drawn to the Christ in us if we allow Him to continue this work of being changed. So in John 15, we read the following: I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. But if anyone does, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So being in Christ is not just for me. It is about bringing glory to the Father. The reason I am transformed and changed is so that I can bear fruit that will bring glory to Him and bring more people to know Him. So we become the light in the darkness, not for our own sakes, not to receive the attention and put the attention on ourselves, but for His sake, for His glory, for His purpose. And so we find this great privilege, not just to be changed, but to actually serve in a place of understanding who we have become and who we serve for. So we do not live for ourselves in Christ. We live for Him. And that is what I really believe God is calling us in this time. That we must come closer to Him. That we must find our identity not in the world, but in Him. Allow Him to change us, to become more like His Son in everything that we do. And so I want to pray for us as a church that we too will embrace our identity, that God will open the eyes of our understanding, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we may understand and know what is this great privilege that we have, not just being saved, but being transformed, being renewed into the image of Christ, being in Him, having an inheritance, a future, a hope, being sealed with the Spirit as a guarantee of our inheritance, and that we will live not just for ourselves, but that we will live for Him as we continue to be changed by this solution in which we immersed in the Holy Spirit. Let us just close our eyes. Father, I want to thank You that we can come to You today. And Lord, we want to surrender our lives to You completely. We want to thank You for this great privilege, Lord, to be saved, to be born again, to be transformed, to be renewed, to become a new creation in Christ. And that You see us perfectly. Lord, thank You for Your Spirit, Lord, that transforms us to become more like Your Son, so that we can live for You, so that You may receive the glory of everything good in us as the world sees You through us, that the fragrance of Christ may permeate everywhere we go as we are changed by You. And so, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you will help us to understand who we are in you. Help us to remain in you, Holy Spirit, to be immersed in you completely until we completely changed. Thank you that you work in us day by day from glory to glory. And Lord, I pray that you'll grant us the boldness when people see you in us to reveal you, to share, to testify, to give you the honor of everything that you have done and doing in us. I pray for this boldness, Lord, that we will share the brand of Jesus. Lord, that we will be mindful the way we live, that your name will be hallowed. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your name be honored, revered, exalted. May it be exalted, revered, and honored because of the way I live, the way you live through me. May the world see you through us. And so, Lord, we want to consecrate ourselves in this new season. Lord, we want to give ourselves to you. We want to immerse ourselves fully in everything that you've given us, in Jesus' name. And I just want you to keep your eyes closed, and I just want you to respond to the word of the Lord this morning. If the Holy Spirit spoke to you, just respond to him in your own words, just where you are seated. Just for a moment, just speak to the Lord in response to his word. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never taken the step to immerse yourself fully in him, to surrender your life. It's a simple but yet very humbling process. When we come to the point where we bow our knee and we accept Jesus as Lord of our life and we surrender everything and we say, God, I give you my life. I immerse myself in you. Out of the world, I'll turn away from darkness into your light to be in you forever. If you have never made that decision, I want to give you an opportunity today. If you want to do that, it will change your life forever. You'll become a new creation in Christ Jesus, and the old will be gone and the new will come, and you will be changed more and more into the likeness of the Son. If that is you and you want to surrender your life to him, I just want you to respond by raising your hand. Say, here I am, Lord. I want to give my life. I want to immerse myself in you. Turn away from darkness into the light. Is there anybody here? I'm going to give a moment. And then I'm going to ask if we are here today and we are drawn by the Holy Spirit to surrender more. I want us just to respond to him and say, yes, Lord. I want to give you my life, Lord. I want you to fill my life, Lord. I want you to change me completely, Lord. I'm willing to turn away from the world and the things that distract me to you and allow you to change me. Maybe you're here and you've been trying to change yourself. And you've been hard on yourself because you cannot change yourself. Well, I've got good news for you. God wants to change you, but you've got to trust him. You got to let go and immerse yourself in him. And so, Father, I pray for those who want to respond to you, Lord, who wants to come a little bit closer, go a little bit deeper to allow you to change us. Lord, change the way we see ourselves, what we live for, and for whom we live for. May we be consumed by you and your Spirit, that we live for Christ and Christ alone. And so we ask, God, we give you permission to start this work in us, to change us completely for your glory. In Jesus' name. I want us just to take up the communion. It's a little cup next to you. It's something new. On top is the bread. Inside, the wine. And what I want us to do, I'm going to pray for us. What communion is a covenant. That's what communion is. It's a covenant. God said, I gave my son to save you, to redeem you, to give you life, but to make you new, to bring you into my family, to adopt you as my son and daughter, and give you an inheritance with Christ, to become a co-heir with eternal life. This is what I put on the table. If you believe in me and you're willing to surrender to me, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you will have it all. So Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, as you say in John 6, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. And as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. And so Father, we thank you. We thank you for this bread, Lord, that represents your body, your sacrifice made for us, the price you paid to redeem us from death. Lord, we thank you for this, Lord, and we will not forget the cost. And we choose today to embrace what you have paid for us, this life that we can have because of your works. And so we thank you for this, and we eat of it in faith as we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's eat together. Lord, we thank you for this cup, which is the blood that seals us into the covenant, the new covenant. Lord, thank you that as we drink this cup, Lord, we drink this promise that you have for us, this reality, to be immersed in you, to be seen in you, to be accepted in you, and to have a life in you. So, Lord, we thank you for this blood that was shed for us. And as we drink it, we embrace it, this life that you have for us, in Jesus' name. I want us to stand, and we're going to end off just worshiping the Lord as we allow his Spirit to minister to us. And if you need a prayer, I'm going to be here for a moment or two. But let's just focus on him. As we end off.
So pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper. I wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart. And your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart. Pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper. I wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart. Cause your love is so much stronger than anything I've tasted. I wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart. Your Father, we sing this now to you.